Good evening, Elka. Welcome to the program.
Good evening, Pastor, and I guess Jeremiah?
Yep, Jeremiah is with us. Qumri 87, that's Jeremiah.
Yep.
So how have you been lately? How is Gary?
He seems okay. I sent some clothes and picture over there, and he talks about me a lot. And it's a hassle. I found somebody. Well, I knew of him in Georgia. His name is Ed. He takes care of his mother, but he is on top of all the legal stuff. He's really an expert when it comes to representing yourself and what forms to write. And he helps a lot of nationals in California, other states too. So, he's very, very busy. So he sent me a couple of things, and then there's another lady. She's trying to defend herself too. They stole her mother's estate from her, and so she has a criminal case. So I will just help her and support her and just go with her to the court. And she came and helped me a little bit, counseling and things. But I have to fire my public pretender that they assigned to me, and then if you call any lawyers, that you can tell that they want to work within the system. And the first thing, are you a citizen? And I said, unfortunately, I am, because they could deport me if I wouldn't be. That's what he said, if I have felony charges. They never used to do that. So I'm not sure if they really follow through with that. But, it's a money racket.
Everything's a money racket.
So I'm just dragging my feet to get counsel, but I think I just have to walk with the Lord, and all I pray for is, Lord, help me, lead me by your Spirit. Lead me, help me, and lead me by your Spirit every day, that I do what he wants me to do. His will, not my will. So that's all I can do.
Right.
So not to get anxious for nothing, and just leave it in his hands. It seems he's taken care of, but I talked to an attorney, but there's no way that he can be on the stand. He forgot what happened yesterday, or what he ate for breakfast. So but they said, oh, they can take hearsay into the courts. So
they can take hearsay?
Yes. they work with the hearsay now. It's just too crazy. I don't even, so it discourages me to even deal with them at all. So the Lord is putting me into the direction to just go for it and defend myself. And what Ed was saying, he has a letter, and he said he wrote to over 3,500 attorneys within the United States, and none of them would sign it or contract with him. So he said I should write these letters to all the attorneys here in my county, and to prove to the judge that I can't attain effective counsel, because, you know, they would sign this my contract.
Wow.
Yeah. So, I don't know. The Lord, a scripture, I don't know where it is, came to my mind. The ones he loves, he chastises and just refines. So I feel like he's refining me.
Refining you like silver.
Mm-hmm. You just have to not be afraid and just walk through it.
And right, exactly.
Yeah.
And that's in Hebrews, there's one, for the moment, all discipline seems painful rather than pleasant, but later it yields the peaceful fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it.
Mm. Yeah. And those are faith, what I call faith builders, too.
Oh, yeah. Mm. Also in Proverbs chapter 13, whoever spares the rod hates his son, but he who loves him is diligent to discipline him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like I want to avoid it. I know myself, and because I haven't gone through it, so it's unfamiliar territory, and just the fear of the unknown, and that's courage to step into the unknown.
Oh, yeah.
So I just need prayers, and I have good friends who visit, and they read with him, and they send me little videos. So he seems in good spirits, but I'm just sad at times. Next week is his birthday.
Mm-hmm. What? How old will he be next week?
81.
81? Okay.
And there's Ella. Hi, Ella.
You're unmuted now, Ella. She might be muted at her end, though, too, so...
I was just listening to this free access to Model 1. Have you, do you know anything about that?
Free access to what?
Model 1. Are they talking about the law for mankind, knowledge? I think you emailed that out this morning. So it was just Greg Paul and John Little.
I don't think I got to hear that one.
No.
No. Some of the stuff I send out, I don't have time to listen to all of it.
Yeah.
I would have no time to do anything else if I did that.
Right.
So I try to pick the best ones and maybe listen to bits and pieces of other ones to see who seems to be on mark.
Are you still doing the militia calls?
No, I don't tune into that. You mean with Michael?
Yes.
No. I'm going to be with the common law folks for a little bit, but I may not be with that too much longer either.
Hi, everybody.
There she is.
There I am. I put it in the chat, but I guess nobody saw.
I saw it. I answered it.
Oh, I don't see any answers here. Okay. Yeah, hello, you are unmuted. I got it.
Okay. See?
Okay. You're right. I'm wrong.
Say what?
You're the big chief, the boss.
I'm the big chief, that's right. I'm going to stay up on that pedestal.
I'm always wrong when I argue with you.
Oh, Lordy. Well, we got a few minutes, and then I'll officially start the social hour here, and we'll see if other folks join us or not.
When do you usually start these meetings? Because last time I tried 15 minutes before and I couldn't get on. And this time I waited till about 5 of and I got on.
I don't know why it didn't work before, but if I have time, if I'm free, I could jump on 15 minutes early just to make sure everything's working in case I have to restart my computer or if I got problems with the internet or any of that kind of stuff. And if everything's working, I just leave it run. And today, Jeremiah jumped on, then Elka, and then you. Sometimes people show up a little early, and we just sort of chit-chat till 8, and that's when I make it kind of official.
When I find I am on time, that means I'm late. I'm so conscious of time. You know, being a nurse for 35, 40 years, the clock is your enemy if you don't watch it carefully. So you get so used to either be there early or if you're on time, you're late.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember many a work day that the clock was not my friend. But, we grin and bear it, keep on going. I've been blessed ever since 2015 to not have to punch the clock like I did for so many years. And now I thought I would miss working in the power plants, but I haven't missed it for one second. Plus, it had gotten so ugly working for a corporate structure. Walking away from it was quite easy. It's just an ugly mess anymore. So anyway, I'll go ahead and start it now and just let everybody know it's the 16th of November, year 2022. This is the By Yahweh's Design Social Hour, which is basically a open forum. It's not so much a teaching thing as it is, at least not in a formal sense. It's more of a get-together for the House of Jacob Israel for us to communicate, share experiences, get help from one another. And it allows multiple people to call in and share or ask questions, whatever. So it's not just me blathering on. This gives everybody a chance to partake. And again, we do ask everybody to be mindful of the other callers. Don't walk on top of each other. Try not to, if somebody's already speaking, don't open up your mic and start talking or hear dishes banging in the background or dogs barking and all that kind of stuff, because that's, for most of the hosts anyway, that's very annoying, especially with the modern phones and modern mics. They are extremely sensitive. I mean, you can hear unbelievable things. So, again, the general rule is if you're not actually engaged in saying anything, just it only takes a click of your mouse or a click on your phone to mute your mic. And that way it's a silent, what we used to call in the airplane when I was learning to fly, a sterile cockpit, which means no speaking, no noise. And that's generally the way it is when you're approaching the airport to land. The person in charge of the plane calls for a sterile cockpit. And that means everybody has to be silent because he's got to talk to the tower and he's got to be able to concentrate on landing the plane. So, and the same thing on takeoff, a sterile cockpit until you get up and get to altitude and get out of the pattern and get away from the airport. Then you can go ahead and engage in conversation. So a little bit the same thing, just some common sense rules, but. Everybody, welcome. I don't know. I'm going to unmute Matt here. I'm assuming he's got a microphone. Matt, have you been here before? Unless you don't want to speak, that's fine, too, if you're just listening. He jumped off, so apparently he didn't, either that or he couldn't talk. And then sometimes you have to come back into the channel and get your audio working. Oh, okay. So there he came again. I'm going to unmute you. You don't have to say anything, Matt, if you don't want to. I'm just going to give you the control of it by clicking on the unmute at my end. That way you control it yourself. But anyway, welcome. And everybody else. Anybody have anything they want to bring up to share with the group? And again, I'll... sometimes if we cover some stuff that I think significant or whatnot, I put a copy of the chat up on the website now so people can go listen to it.
I have something to say.
Well, then you go right ahead, Ella.
Okay, I just wanted to tell everybody, keep a very close eye on your checking account and your credit cards, because lately there have been credit card thieves out there that are putting a lot of charges on you that go through, and then you find out you're $1,000 more in debt than you thought you were. And it takes a lot of stomach ulcers and frustration and fight to get rid of it. So keep a close eye, more so than you ever have before. And that's all I had to say right now.
Okay. Well, that's good advice. There's also another reason for that. Anytime you have an economic downturn and people are desperate, then they go to great lengths to try to steal your debit card information or credit card information, much more than the recreational criminal. Economic hard times will drive people to will do it when normally they might not. So even more reason to keep abreast of it. Now, a lot of credit card companies do not charge you when somebody does that. I know Amex is very good about that. Most of the major credit card companies have a no-fault type program where if somebody steals the information and uses it and you did not authorize it, then they will go after that person, but they will not charge you. The best at it was American Express. Anytime I've ever dealt with them, they are extremely aggressive about going after fraud. And when I asked if the gentleman had called me, I said, is there anything I need to do? And he said, no, sir, you don't need to do anything. All you, as soon as you tell us that you did not authorize it, we take it from there and you don't have to worry about it. So that was kind of nice. When so many people today, they're trying to put it on you as if it's your fault, and we don't have very many advocates today. I did like, I listened to a Kim Grogan, I think is her name, G-O-G-U-E-N, I believe. I've never really listened to her much before. She had some very interesting things to say in her report. A lot of it was very similar to things we've talked about on this platform. And listened to that was very interesting was a gentleman that goes by S.G. Anon. And he did a report. And again, much of what he had to report were things that we have talked about on the broadcast. So I took that to mean that either we're reaching a much bigger audience than we are aware, or the Holy Spirit is talking to a lot of us and telling us all the same things. One of two things. So either we're out front, tip of the spear, or it's a movement of the Holy Spirit, which is also biblical, that's telling people many of the same things, so that there is a rise in consciousness going on right now. I'm hearing from many, many circles that man-made governments are not to be trusted. We don't need them. We need to get rid of them. Organized government, organized central banking, organized central religion, we need to walk away from all of it. And most of the platforms are saying the same thing as far as we don't need a, at least at this point, we don't necessarily need to make this a violent revolution as opposed to simply walking away, much like the Amish do. They don't oppose governments and all that militarily most of the time. They just simply refuse to abide by their standards and live their lifestyle the way they have for a very long time and refuse to let anybody change their mind about things and go a different way. And so now mankind seems to be waking up to the same thing. We're overcomplicated. We have way too much material goods. Most of it's not good for us. And the enemy uses it to bait us and to entrap us. And we don't need it. I mean, I don't know about everybody else, but I can go through my home and I can find a lot of things I can live without. And as I become more of a minimalist, I'm finding I'm actually happier. I'm spending a lot less money. I have a lot less clutter. I don't stress things as much. I don't worry about maintaining and upkeep on a ton of things I don't really need. And it's actually kind of liberating in a way. So being a minimalist at this point in time is actually a virtue. So many people are looking into gardening and growing their own food. I'm doing that right now. Some of my neighbors are doing it. Other people that are called into the program, they're in the middle of it as well. And there's a lot of folks who are looking into setting up communities, and we're still looking into that as well. I've got supporters, mentors, benefactors, whatever you want to call them, that have let me know that should we decide or we find a proper place and Yahweh opens up a door, we are going to build a community. And then we will vet people so that only those who are of like mind can be there. But it's basically, again, like the Amish, their idea, sort of modified. But we'll just live on a land together or pieces of property that are next to each other. And do as they do. We help each other the way we used to do back in the old days before television and entertainment and sports and everything divided us, and then we don't even know who our neighbors are. So this is already starting to happen. I know right here in Central Florida, they've got a large group of preppers who own 5 to 10 acre little farmettes, and they are all engaged in bartering with each other. They grow all their own stuff, and it's working. And there's other, many, many other communities doing the same thing. So it's a trend. And so that makes me think that when Kim Grogan and other people report on that, makes me believe that it is happening. People overseas that I communicate with, a lot of that's happening over there as well. So these are all good things. We share information on holistic medicine and naturopathy as far as health concerns. We share information on heirloom seeds and making sure we get proper type of vegetation to grow, herbs, etc. You don't want the hybrids. You don't want the GMOs. You want what they call heirloom seeds for all of your herbs and vegetables. And the same thing would go with your fruit trees as well. You don't want any kind of hybrids. You want pure heirloom type plants and things for your garden and for your vineyard. So that's coming along quite a good ways. There's that talk we had last week with the sheriffs. That was very fruitful. So a lot of our guys are working with the sheriffs. But I have noticed something in conversation with people. I was sort of shocked that how many people lately that I thought were much more aware are handing me this stuff about, well, there's only one race, the human race. That's a new age, one world government phrase and construct. To say that there's only one race is just ludicrous. I mean, you can go to the Smithsonian Institute and they got the skeletons of the major races of the earth and they're completely different. You can look at life itself, the people that walk around, and you can see the racial differences. To say that everybody's of one race, that's just nonsensical. So there are major races. And then there are subdivisions within that race. But to say that everything is part of the human race is just ludicrous. I mean, unbelievable. Let me unclick Leo and welcome to the chat. Welcome, Leo. Hope you can hear us okay.
Yeah, thank you. I hear you perfect.
Okay. Yeah, we're just sort of chit-chatting and talking about things that are going on that around the world here. Have you got anything you want to share with the folks that are here?
No, just people who I talk to are all worked up over Donald Trump.
They think Donald is still the savior, huh?
Yeah,
you're a little weak on volume there, bud.
He's controlled opposition, I guess, right?
Yeah, and I was just talking about Kim Grogan, who just did a podcast interview, and she had nothing good to say about Trump. And she's met Trump. She's spent time around Trump. And she's one of the few that I've heard that said that everybody thinks he's this good guy, and she said, no, he's not. He is an egotist. He's a cheat. And I remember before he ran for president, there were a lot of people talking about the contractors in New York and in Florida that he hired to do major building projects and all that, that they hated working for him. And he tried to get out of paying a lot of them. And when he did pay, he did not pay what he agreed to. So, you know, where they get the idea this guy walks on water, I don't know. Because before he ran for president, everybody knew he was an egotistical SOB. And now all of a sudden they think he's the white knight. What the hell?
I ignore it.
Yeah. Well, I've said for years that no political party and no politician is gonna help us out. None. We have to look to each other and our Father above. Go ahead, Ella. You got your hand up. By the way, folks, at the bottom of the screen, there's that reactions icon. If you click on it, it gives you the option to raise your hand or give a thumbs up or thumbs down, things like that. And raising of the hand is how we generally, during these calls, let me as the host know that somebody wants to say something. But go ahead, Ella.
I just want to say, in my studies over the years, besides medicine and the Bible, I have been studying people like, I think people remember Bruce Jenner, how he became a she and or she became a he or whatever. I just want to let all the Trump believers out there know that Trump is not a male. He was born a female. And this is a study I've been doing for about 8 years now, and I'm convinced of it. So he has proved himself to be one of the powers that be, or those that are called the elite or the Illuminati. So he is not a good guy. As a matter of fact, he's not even a guy. So just have people think about that.
Wow. Yeah, that's, you know, it's like they mock us with all this stuff. Putting out the females that were originally males and putting out the males that were originally females. It's a mockery of everything that Yahweh created. And it's their way to... I don't know, I guess show their disdain and their absolute loathing of us as believers in truth and believers in the Father. So it's sad, but that's the way it is. Elka said here in the chat that she has to go. So, Elka, thank you for being here. If we understand if you have to take off, that's no problem. And then let's see here. Kumri Ambith, Kumri 87. Go ahead, you get your hand up. You got yourself muted.
Yeah, I'm just trying to figure this out. I have a few things.
Your voice is a little low, so make sure you're speaking into the mic.
All right, how about this?
That's much better.
I was just saying I have a few things, but unfortunately a lot of the questions I had kind of slipped my mind. But regarding Trump, I've never heard of him being a she. I don't know how much I believe that. I would have to look at the information. But what I do know is... he has a lot of markers as being the prophetical beast that was, quote, wounded, i.e. he lost the election, his ego's hurt, but then he comes back and he's given all this power. So I could see that coming true if he's reelected. And we do know, at least I know, the end date would be somewhere between 2024 and 2025, which would put him in line with that if he's reelected, because he would be the last president of the United States under this satanic world.
Yeah, good point. A lot of people have said that for some time now, that he's in a perfect position with the way people worship him as the false Christ, false Messiah, that he could easily be Antichrist, a type of Antichrist at least. And the fact that everybody is literally idol worshiping this guy. So, yeah. And what I don't understand is all of these people have been liars. It doesn't matter if they're a Republican, Democrat, or even independent anymore. They've all lied, and it's not made one bit of difference who we elect, what party's in charge. They keep yakking about, we'll get control of the House and the Senate and the House of Representatives, etc. And yet, our memories are so short. There's been plenty of times that Republicans have had control from the White House down through Congress, even to the Supreme Court. And it didn't make a damn bit of difference, okay? Because the people running this show, they're not it. They're just the mirage that's put out there for us to sink our teeth into, to give us the illusion that we have choice and that we have somebody working for us, etc. That's, you know, it's just not true. So we're on our own, just as the Father told us we should have understood. We're on our own, and we should not be looking for the arm of flesh, which is what Trump and all the rest of these politicians are, these princes and kings and potentates, to solve our problems. And giving our allegiance to them, our energy, our obedience, and our tax dollars is actually the wrong thing to do. So your hand is still up. Did you have more?
Yeah.
Okay.
The thing I was going to add is I have friends who are, you know, Trump gaga, and I always tell them, I was like, you are aware, because they're aware of hoaxvid and the death jab. And I remind them that COVID and the death jab is 100% Trump. He's the one who authorized forcing the jab in as many people as possible, as quick as possible, with Operation Warp Speed. That was Trump. He's also the one who issued a memo, and of course, this was never made mainstream, and you have a lot of people, mainly on the left or on the right, who will say, well, if this was true, the left would have used it, blah, blah, blah. And I remind them, no, they wouldn't, because they're in on it. But Trump's office, the White House, issued a memo to all the governors of every state. And that memo stated very specifically to lock down your state. If you do not lock it down, you will not receive federal funding. So Trump was also the cause of the lockdowns.
Yeah, they put financial blackmail, so to speak. Yep. Well, that's why I say, you know, why so many people have such a high opinion of Trump is beyond me. And I admit that when he first started to run, I thought he might be a good guy. I thought the white hats were for real. I thought QAnon was for real. And only to be quite greatly disappointed. And then this Kim Grogan said that Jared Kushner and his fellow Mossad operatives are the ones who came up with Q to begin with. And again, as a way to manipulate us and to get us to have hopium and not get involved and not rise up in rebellion, which makes sense. So everything is, all the hopium is to get us to think that somebody out there is fighting for us, and you know, all we have to do is let them do their thing, and everything will be okay. Just don't get involved and keep watching your television and your sports. Keep drinking your beer, eating the crap food, so etc. Oh, Matt says here, Trump is great at telling people what they want to hear. No fruit. Oh, yeah. Absolutely. And Ella says here in the chat, Kushner was also born a woman. It was on her driver's license. Okay, I didn't know that. All I know is they're all fruitcakes, okay? They're all laughing at us. They're all, they're not allowed to have those positions of power and all that money by being good people, okay? How many people do we know that teach the truth of this message and they live on shoestring budgets, okay? Nobody with money and power is going to support truth tellers. It's why Christ said, if you follow me, the world's going to hate you. The world hates the truth. They don't want the truth. So they're not going to support it. They're not going to assist you. They're not going to donate to you. The world is going to consider you an enemy. And that's exactly the way it is. I mean, look how all this has played out. You know, when I told people I didn't wear a mask, I still have never put a mask on in almost 3 years. But there's people that, oh, that's not possible, Dan. Yeah, it is possible because I did it. Now, true, I didn't go to a lot of things. I didn't really want to anyway. But I said, if you're going to make me put that thing on, I'll figure out a way to do without it or go somewhere where the people are more sane. And that's exactly what I did. So, you know, but did people enjoy hearing that? No, they wanted me to just acquiesce and go along. It bothered them that I wouldn't do that. You would think that they would be in favor of somebody, you know, willing to stand up. Instead, it was, you know, hey, we gave in. We knuckled under. Why don't you? Ella says here, anyone researching Trump and his tranny family will find little to nothing on the internet anymore. Much has been taken down. I read everything 5 years ago. Much of it is no longer there. I have noticed that. Things I used to be able to find easily searching on the internet, and it doesn't, I never use Google, but even the alternative search engines, you can't find a lot of the stuff that used to be out there. So somebody is making a concerted effort to shut down our ability to research things and point all this stuff out. So again, it's great that people kept records. Some of us truthers and preppers, we've been doing this for decades, and many of us have archives that go back to the 70s or even the 60s. We've been saving documents and PDF files and videos and audio files of good stuff, and we save it to multiple drives, and we keep the drives in different locations, knowing, just like when I was on blog, or what was I on there, that radio station I was on for quite some time, not Blog Talk Radio, but Talk Shoe. When I was on Talk Shoe, they eliminated 8 years of my material overnight. One day I went in to, somebody said, Dan, what happened to your archives? And I went in and they had erased 8 years worth of programs that were up on the website. Now, the good news was I had it backed up on stuff that I control, thank goodness. So I still have all those programs, but as far as they were concerned, they were bought out by a Jewish company. And sure enough, they went in there and took 8 years worth of stuff down and didn't notify me. I was given heads up that they might do that by some other broadcasters. I don't know where they got their information, but they told me be careful that there was a rumor flying around that they're going to do that. So again, I back up everything anyway, but I went in and double checked. Kumri says here, a good reason I'm also setting up a server forum for us to gather and share information as well as discuss plans for a community. Yeah, as he gets that thing up and running and all, we'll share the website. Okay. Because we really do need to do that. To come out of this system, we need a place to go. So it's one thing to say that, you know, come out of Babylon and come out of the system, but where do we go to set up our community? That's been my biggest struggle, because during this last three-year period, the price of land and the price of property has gone up considerably, and it just seems like it's harder than hell to find suitable places to go. Also, not just because of price, but because you don't want counties or communities where they're going to have all kind of government people or whatever trying to tell you how to raise your animals or build your buildings and things like that. Everybody we know, we want unincorporated areas where we can live the way my ancestors lived and where I grew up. You can have a farm and you can water it the way you want. You can grow what you want. And you have animals the way you want. And nobody bothered us. And that's what we're looking for. So it's not just the price of the land, but we want it to be unencumbered. We want no restrictions. And we also want it to be in a predominantly white area. And the people that are in the lands next to our community and living on the property will be vetted to be our people as well. And I think if we can get to that, we will be benefited greatly. For one thing, we'll have clean water and clean food to eat, which a lot of people are beginning to realize we have not had for quite some time. And I think the things I'm reading lately about what they're putting in the food even shocks me. I always suspected that the enemy was contaminating our food supply, but the evidence that they have been doing it and the level to which they've been doing it, it shocked even me. So again, you can't trust corporate America with anything nowadays. Their labels, they lie on their labels, they lie in their advertising. Sometimes they'll even lie to you when you call them up on the phone. There are some organizations out there that watch this sort of thing. I don't have them in front of me right now, but I have friends who utilize these organizations quite a bit to figure out who the liars are and who you can trust as far as heirloom products and organics and non-GMO and things like that, because a lot of the brand name stuff, they're lying. And the other thing they lie about is, are the animals, for instance, if it's chicken, turkey, beef, whatever, are the animals humanely raised? Well, a lot of them advertise that they are, but when you call them up and start questioning how they, what kind of buildings the animals are kept in and do they get fresh air and exercise and all that, you find out that no, they're not. And yet on their labels, it says it's all organic and humanely raised animals. So it's crazy. Absolutely crazy. See Ella and Kumri going back and forth about the tranny thing. Again, I think it's just another indication of how much the Antichrist is enjoying flaunting Yahweh's law. Again, it makes me wonder, when are the sons of Yahweh going to rise up, as it says in Obadiah and in Ezekiel? When are they going to rise up and say, enough is enough? That's what I'm waiting for. There will be no political solution. There will be no arm of flesh coming in to save us. This has to be an organic movement from the people who claim to love the Father of the Bible, the Creator. and they want to cleanse this land and set up a kingdom for our people on this earth where we obey his law. Go ahead, Kumri. You're muted. Kumri, you had your hand up.
Yeah, it just takes me a while to get to the right screen.
Oh.
Because I'm not on a laptop. I'm on a phone.
Right.
No, one thing I just wanted to add, that I noticed that seems to be one of the issues with a lot of our brothers and sisters is I understand being angry, but one thing that I see as a fault is they're too vocal in using certain slurs or throwing up certain German signs, which will do nothing but bring the government's attention. And if we were to establish or try to establish a community, I think one rule we should all agree on is not acting like neo-Nazis, because that's going to just bring bad attention.
Well, that's why the community will have a board of elders. And before we even establish a community, we're going to have certain guidelines that the elders all get together and decide will be what we call a community standard. It'll be very limited, but there'll be some things that will be listed as you do not jeopardize the community. Everybody has a right to be whatever they want. Now, if somebody wants to buy a 10-acre plot near us, they can do anything they want on their 10-acre plot. But if you're going to live on the land that either I buy or my mentors or benefactors are financing, it will be their rules because it's their property. That's just common sense. Shouldn't even have to say that. But again, you know, we don't want it to be too stringent, but at the same time, people have to understand you don't have the right to jeopardize the work and home of other people. You have to be respectful of that. So if you want to do things that are going to draw a lot of attention or possibly get rival groups to come out and commit acts of vandalism or violence, you don't bring that into the community. You go do that somewhere else. Because the community will have its own posse, its own militia, and it will protect the community. We have a God-given right to do that. But, again, you don't want to poke the bear. You don't want to stick your finger in the eye of a sleeping dog. You typically end up with a very big wound and maybe even some broken bones. So, to me, again, that's common sense. But, yeah, we'll have to sit down, establish some guidelines. And you can't have everything in writing. And so there has to be a mechanism that if there's something comes up that the written part doesn't handle, again, that's where you have special counsels. The elders have to get together, and the community could be part of that meeting. And you have to sit down and figure out what you're going to do, because a problem has come up that's not addressed in the guidelines or in the bylaws. And so then the community has to make a decision on what's best for the community and go from there. So I think it would work. Again, if everybody has the right spirit and the right attitude, I don't see why it wouldn't work. Again, if you have a family attitude, okay, now some people may not see it that way, but here again, that's where everybody has to understand the people who have invested the money in the creating of the community have a right to make sure their investment is not jeopardized. So it's no different than when you rent an apartment from a landlord. He's going to look out for the rest of his tenants and his building. And if you cause trouble, you're going to be asked to leave. It's it's no different. When the founding fathers came here, I read stories of people that were causing trouble, and all the elders got together and basically said, "You're not welcome here anymore. You know, no hard feelings. Have a great life, but you just can't live here with us." So, you know, to form the community, it would have to be along those lines. I see Chris has joined us. I think Chris is out there in Ohio. Chris, did you want to say anything, or are you just listening, buddy?
Just listening right now with my wife and kids.
Oh, okay. Well, we certainly pray everything's okay out there for you.
Yes, sir. How are you doing today, Dan?
I'm doing pretty good, all things considered. Hanging in there. I'm still struggling with some very minor health issues as I'm trying to balance my electrolytes and different things like magnesium and all, because I've found out, especially when you get older, I didn't realize how important your electrolytes and magnesium are to your heart. And so arrhythmia, what's the other thing they call it? Arrhythmia, AFib, and some of these other, the palpitations and things like that, that I get once in a while. I found out there's two things that are really critical for that, and that is to make sure you're hydrated, for one. If you get dehydrated, your heart will start fluttering and cause problems. Or if your electrolytes or magnesium are not where they're supposed to be, it will interfere with the signals to the heart, at least for me. I guess everybody's a little different as to where your trouble might come in, but for me, my system is very sensitive to that. So, but other than that, you know, what can I say? You're up in the north there. Are you getting snow up there yet?
Yes, sir, just a little bit. My stepdad also suffers from that same ailment. He uses cayenne pepper. I don't know if you've used that for heart regulation.
Oh, yeah, I use cayenne every chance I get. The thing I learned when I went to classes is cayenne mixed with I forget what they call it, but a base like vodka. The instructor recommended a good organic vodka, and you put three parts vodka, one part cayenne pepper, and that will stop a heart attack. That's a fact. Okay, you can look it up. It's even online in regular places and all. So he was not, you know, wrong there. But if you think you're having a heart attack, if you have a dose of three parts vodka, one part cayenne pepper, it will stop a heart attack. But as far as the palpitations and arrhythmia, I was always told that electrolytes and magnesium are even more important than cayenne for those guys. But, you know, whatever works. So if it's working for him, cayenne is stopping his problem, hallelujah, that's great. As long as it's natural, that's the thing. I've got a cousin who just contacted me. He's got all kinds of health issues. He's younger than I am. So he and I had a very long conversation, and I was telling him things I'm doing, and he was telling me about some of his problems. And I told him, well, get a hold of the holistic people I know, because there's a natural solution for every problem you've just told me about. Kumri, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to – I forgot my hand was still up. I was just going to mention the cayenne, magnesium, potassium, and sodium. Make sure those are all balanced. That's great for heart. But one that I didn't hear that I want to say recently learned about. I've been reading a lot about it for the last, 7 months now, is DMSO, or dimethyl sulfoxide. You take that at 99% pure. Now, the only bad side is it will cause your skin to age and look leathery, but if you're in the middle of a heart attack, you're not going to care what your skin looks like for a few hours. You rub that right on your chest. it will go right into the bloodstream instantly, and I don't remember exactly how it works, but it will unclog the arteries and help the heart jump back from if you're having like an acute heart attack. One thing you can do is also take DMSO, mix it with some cayenne, and rub it on the chest. And what that'll do is the DMSO will drag the cayenne through the skin almost instantly and get it right into the bloodstream instantly.
Yeah, I've used DMSO for a few things, and it never did that to my skin, so I'm not sure what the difference is, but I've never had a problem like that. I don't use it every day, but the times I've put it on and all, it didn't do anything to my skin.
Was it 99%?
I don't have it in front of me, so I'd have to go look. I don't know.
Okay. Because I know that that's one of the things it could cause at the purest form, which is like, you know, 99%. It could cause the skin to become leather-like, but it's not permanent. And usually once the leather-like tough skin goes away, what replaces it is extremely baby smooth, soft, healthy skin.
Yep, that's what's important, how it ends up. All's well that ends well used to be the saying back on the farm. That's the beautiful part, is that there was a meme I put out today that said this guy had put out a thing that the meme said, for every illness or disease to man, there's a plant that will take care of it. So that's kind of basically the same thing we're saying. In the world, and that's why the Bible says, your food is your medicine is your food. The herbs, the plants, that's where your medicine is. And I'm still pharmaceutical free at 69 years old. And a few other people I know that are close to my age, pharmaceutical free, healthier than most of the people, even many years younger than I am. But just the fact that after 69 years, I can still get by with no pharmaceuticals whatsoever. Some people can't believe that. One of my friends went for a physical, and when the doctor asked him what medications he on, and he said none, the doctor was almost shocked, because virtually everybody's on something today. I heard a statistic from Joe Cortina and some other people that 50% of our military is on a drug. 50% of them are on at least one pharmaceutical grade drug of some kind. That's a lot. When I was a young man in the service, it was nowhere near that high. The one thing that was high was the divorce rate. During the Vietnam War, the divorce rate was outrageous. But that's been happening in our society for quite some time. So, good information. And I like that. So when you get your website all set up and your platform, make sure you let us know. We'll get the word out. Communication. We talked about this many times on By Yahweh's Design, that possibly the ark for the latter days, because remember he said it would be as it is, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be at the end of the age and before the coming of the of Messiah. So Noah and his family had an ark that they were able to rise above the judgment on the world and survive. And so we've often contemplated that possibly the ark at this time would be formed by people. And just like on a ship, all the planking is held together with nails or rivets. And so we're held together by our networking with each other, sharing information and, you know, talking to each other, sharing about what we've discovered, what the truth is, because their truth is getting harder and harder to find. So that's one of the things that I get phone calls on and discussions almost every day with so many people is where can I go to get my truth? When I talk to the young men who are part of the National Socialist Movement down here in Florida, most of them are identity believers. They read scripture. They have some channels they've set up for teaching Bible. And now a portion of them listen to By Yahweh's Design every Sunday morning. So we're reaching our people in many, many different areas. And the one thing that they all have in common is they're looking for truth, whether it's about racial truth, health, food and water, education, the church world, which I call churchianity, which I wouldn't step foot in a modern day church. But that's just me, because again, here in the past 3 years, well, first of all, in the past almost 50 years with the murdering of children, where have the church leaders been? And now in the past 3 years with the murdering of millions of people with these experimental serums, where has the church world been? They're absent. For the most part, they're absent. So they're either part of it or they're cowards. But neither of those is any good. And why in the world would you want to go to them for answers to anything? See what I mean? So... Now, does anybody else have anything to bring up? This would be a good time to do it. Like I said, at the bottom of the screen, that reaction button has a hands-up thing if you want to use it. I'm looking at the chat room here. Ella says here, nowhere in the scriptures do they tell us to go to church. We are to assemble ourselves. The assembly of the saints is what the Bible talks about, not going to church. The word church actually is a mistranslation for the Greek word ecclesia. And ecclesia in the Greek means the called out ones, which is also the definition of the word saints. So the word church and saints are typically the English word put for the ecclesia. And the ecclesia, again, is the people who are called out. A good friend of mine, John, who lives here in Florida, and he spends half of the year over in Greece because he's a Greek gentleman, and he spends half the year here in Florida. But we got into a discussion and on the Greek because I told him I study the Greek language and all, and so he gave me a lot of insights. And he said, in particular, he says, now when that word ecclesia is used in the Greek language, it's referring to being called out, much like somebody standing 100 yards away and they're yelling at the top of their lungs at you to get your attention, okay? That kind of calling out. So it reminded me of the scriptures when it talks about the calling of the Holy Spirit, when Yahshua is calling us out as people upon this earth. He's calling us. He's screaming to us. He's saying, I want your attention. You're being lied to. You're being lied to. You're being abused. Your family is in jeopardy. Wake up. Listen to me via the Holy Spirit and be a truth seeker. Remember, he said the strong delusion was being sent on the general population because they no longer love the truth. So the corollary to that, of course, is if you want the Father's help, you have to be willing to seek the truth. And even more importantly, you have to be willing to hear the truth, even when it hurts. And that's a really tough pill to swallow for a lot of people. They want the truth, but they don't want it to hurt. They don't want it to hurt. So... But anyway, I don't have anything else unless somebody else has something they want to bring up here before we'll just have a little short prayer and then close. Gott mit uns. God with us. Very good. Thanks, Matt. I even when I was a boy, just German songs, German language. I wanted to learn German in school, and the only reason I went with French was because they only offered French and Spanish. They would not teach German any longer. That was what I really wanted. So someday, with any kind of blessing from the Father, I'm going to learn German as well as Italian, Spanish, French, and I may even try Russian at some point. Greek and Hebrew, I don't care to be fluent in that. I just want to know it like I know it now, good enough to do the searching through the lexicons for the true meanings of words, but to actually speak it. The only thing I ever learned in Greek was when Moses said, "Who do I say sent me?" He said, "Ego eimi haon." And that was Yahweh saying, "Tell them that I am the one." So, ego eimi haon. Haon, the one. The one and only. Just like it says in the Ten Commandments. There are no other Elohims above our Creator Father. So, by the way, the German army had Gott mit uns, God with us, on their belt buckles. I still ponder a lot over the years of why our kinsmen lost that war, and I cannot figure it out when they had the best of everything, except they had traitors amongst them in the Jewish community. That's the only thing I can think of, is that they did not exile those people out of Germany the way they should have. Because everybody assumes they exiled all of them, and they did not. Now, I don't know if that was by design, if it was by accident. It doesn't really matter. The point of it is that there were an awful lot of these traitors in Germany. These traitors were part of the reason they lost World War I. If you read Mein Kampf, if you read any of the other literature from World War I, these traitors back in Berlin, these communist Zionists, were a large part of why the Germans, who should have won World War I, lost. And so I would have thought by the time the 1930s rolled around, they would have realized that you can't allow them to stay in your country. So that's always perplexed me why that was. So anyway, Kumri, you got your hand up. Go ahead.
I was going to add, I'm not so perplexed by it, because I have always questioned that as well. Like, how did we lose? There's no way. And the answer to me is quite simple, and that was, what they did was good and righteous, but it was not time yet. They were going ahead of God's schedule, so God was not going to necessarily defend them as he would normally, because it was against his time schedule.
Well, I've thought about that, too. There's a lot of things that were going on. Again, the Germans did not want World War II. They did not want that. I've had arguments even with my own brother and stuff on that. The Germans were trying to conquer the world. I said, that's just total bullshit. Anybody that knows anything, done any kind of studying, knows that they were not trying to conquer the darn world. The Danzig area up in Poland belonged to Germany. It was given to Poland at the end of World War I. Well, that'd be no different than if we lost a skirmish and somebody gave Alaska away to somebody else. They didn't have a right to do that, so we'd have a right to go back in and retake Alaska. Well, that's all Germany was doing with the Danzig area around in Poland, because it's just like the Donbass in the Ukraine today, it's Russian. It's always been Russian. The people there are Russian. The Danzig area of Poland has always been German. They speak German. They're Germans. And so the Germans went in there because the Poles were killing the German people in Poland, in the Danzig area. And Hitler said, this is nonsense. He petitioned the world court and the other leaders of the free world, and trying to get them to stop the polls, but the polls wouldn't stop, probably because they were getting a big fistful of Jewish money to murder the German people there. So again, you know, our people, they have a notion of what they think is true about history, but in the end, you find out that many people have not studied the issues, not anywhere near what they should have. So, and I see Matt here said, now he's up in Michigan. I'm not sure what part of Michigan. I lived up there for 10 years near Benton Harbor in Stevensville. And it says here he studied French in school too. So you know, we got a lot of common. It's nice when we find family. We, as a family, no matter if we're thousands of miles apart, oh, he's up near Grand Rapids. Okay, yeah, I've been up that area a little bit, not too much, though. It's always nice when you find out, just like I did with the guy that's the kind of like, I know the commander is the commander of the National Socialist Movement, but I consider him like a sub-commander in Florida here. I found out he and his family lived not more than 5 or 6 miles up the road from where I lived when I was in New Jersey in high school. In fact, my high school played his high school in football. So, I mean, that was pretty cool. Matt says here his father is identity, so I'm content given the circumstances, but would love a community. Yeah, we all would. Absolutely. From Ireland. All right. Well, so is our side of family. On my dad's side, it's Welsh-Irish, and on my mother's side is German-English. So, again, a lot of us have a lot of that in common as well, too. In fact, one of the contributors for the By Yahweh's Design is a father-son over in Ireland. They write to me frequently, and they send some help every now and then, too. Ella, of course, is all Finnish. I know Elka is German, that was on the call here in the beginning. So, you know, our roots, we're coming back together as a family, much like it says in Malachi that the job of Elijah was to bring the family back together. I kind of feel that this ministry is like an Elijah ministry. Our job is to remind our people that we're family. Forget the language barrier or even the national borders, they're fake. Okay, national borders are imaginary. The Israelite nation is wherever Israelites live. So, okay, Matt. Okay, gotcha. Okay, cool, very good. So, I didn't know you were up in Michigan. But anyway, Ella says here, you are our patriarch. Well, I'm certainly old enough to be one now. I don't feel like it, but every time I look in the mirror, I wonder where the hell did that old man come from? But, yeah, I've got the age. Okay. We do have two mats. I'm sorry. I just noticed that. Okay. My mistake. Sorry about that. We only got a small crowd here. I got two mats, one in Ireland, one in Michigan. Well, that's great, though. That's great. I have to pay more attention. That's my mistake. Kumri, you got your hand up again. Go ahead, bud. Uh-oh, we lost him. Oh, okay. He said he was on his phone. Maybe he's outside the... there he is. He's back now. Yeah, Kumri, did you have something you wanted to say?
Yeah, sorry about that. Freaking phone backed up too far and took me out of the chat.
Ah.
Let me see here. Yeah, I had a few things to say. One... going back a little bit, when you were discussing history and Germany, not actually related, but it's related in terms of history. And I know you know a lot more about history than I do. But I was watching a show the other day, and one of the characters in this show was Joan of Arc. And so I was intrigued, so I decided to do my own little looking up at Joan of Arc and the history and whatnot, what I could find. And the question I would have that you might know more than I, because I don't know enough of history to see it as a big picture, but if that was true and she was getting visions from God to do what she did, which in the beginning, let's just say, there's no 14-year-old that I know of who could do the thing she was doing at 14 and getting armies to listen to her. But my question would be, what was the significance? Like, what was the significance of what she helped France to do that would better God's plan or to set up the stage to where he would give her visions to free France? Like, what was the importance?
Well, her name in French is Jeanne d'Arc, which means Jean or Joan in English, but from the city of Arc, A-R-C, so Jeanne d'Arc. Joan of Arc, I've read accounts from that. Interestingly enough, she was known as the Maiden, and they found artifacts. Some people were tearing some buildings down in France, and they found artifacts that were talking about the Maiden and why she was so popular. The whole story of Joan of Arc is a story of a tax rebellion. Okay? So the French government was taxing the people to the point of near starvation. And Joan of Arc basically said, this is ridiculous, and she stirred up a tax rebellion. That's why she was so popular. And the men, Joan of Arc didn't actually, I don't even know if she fought. I think she put on armor and she sometimes went out onto the battlefield with the men as an inspiration, but I don't know that she actually fought. She was not, I don't believe she was only 14. I think she was older than that. I'm thinking she was like 17 or 18. But basically, when you boiled it down, she was leading a tax rebellion, and of course, this upset the Catholic Church, because the Catholic Church, as most churches, are more interested in money than they are the truth and morality. Okay, so Joan of Arc was upsetting the apple cart, because they had a good thing going. They had a nice agreement, nice cushy agreement with the French monarchy, and the Catholic Church had their monopoly over the church world. And so they were both fleecing the sheep, so to speak, and it was a good deal for all of them. And here comes Joan of Arc getting the noblemen and peasants of France in an uproar to throw off the tyranny. And so they conspired, the government and the church leaders conspired to bring charges of heresy against her and try to make it like she was a heretic and a witch. She ended up, if I remember the story right, she ended up fleeing to England to escape being basically murdered. But the Catholic Church reached out to their embassy in England, and they conspired with the English monarchy to betray Joan of Arc and put her on trial anyway. So she was eventually burned at the stake as a heretic. But it was all, what it boiled down to was the government didn't like competition for the tax dollars, and they got pissed off because she wouldn't recant, so they tracked her down and murdered her. The Catholic Church has killed so many people, innocent people, just read the book, Fox's Book of Martyrs. And Fox is F-O-X-E. That was the name of the man that put it together. But Fox's Book of Martyrs is just a compilation of eyewitness testimonies of people that went through trials and were murdered by the church, the Roman Catholic Church. And in some cases, it's the actual writings of the victims that they wrote before they were murdered. It's disgusting. It was a very disturbing book to read. To think that man does this to man all for the sake of political power and money, you find out just how evil a lot of people are. That's why Yahweh said that his flock is a little flock. Okay? A lot of people pretend to care about righteousness and morality, but when you put political power and money in the equation, they abandon it. And that's the problem. Just like in America today, you know, our politicians are whores. Okay, it's why we live in a kakistocracy, which is a Greek word. It means your government is made up of people who are the worst characters of all. The worst elements of your society are governing you. Not the best. The Bible expects us to pick the best of our elders to give them leadership authority, not the worst. So again, the Bible points it out. When the righteous rule, the people rejoice. When the wicked rule, the people mourn. And that's where we're at. The wicked are definitely in charge. But here again, we could put an end to it if we could just all get together. Go ahead, Kumri.
Well, it's interesting that you've mentioned about righteous men ruling. It reminds me of George Washington. And the reason why is because a lot of people aren't aware of this. I'm sure a lot of your listeners are, but most people are not. Is shortly after the War for Independence, and we won, he could have easily been king, but what he did is he just went back home to be a farmer after going through all of that work, setting up a new country, almost dying for that country. He took nothing for his efforts and just wanted to go back home and be a simple farmer.
Yeah. Well, again, there's a lot of history we don't have about everything. This country, the rest of the world, back into the Dark Ages and beyond, all that. We have a lot of stuff that we don't have access to the actual historical documents. And so when those books are all released, it's going to astound everybody of what real historicity is versus this nonsense that we've been taught in school. And that's why I say you got to take everything with a grain of salt at this time. Also, you can't get overly concerned with all the shenanigans going on by the wicked around you. Stay focused. Stay on track, stay with the Father above all things, and stay within your comfort zone for yourself. But don't allow them to get us down, and we have to stay on the high ground. And I'm telling you this because many years ago we talked about it. Many of the people that have been part of By Yahweh's Design, we said that you are going to be the ones they come to when the time comes, and we're there. So all of you absolutely wonderful people that have been right there alongside me through this journey of knowledge and learning and preaching and teaching and sharing with all of our brothers and sisters, it's been for a reason, okay? Because we have reached that point now. I'm getting contacted all the time. Like I said, it's really great seeing Matt here, both Matts actually, young men, And I'm talking to the guys over in, like I said, with the National Socialist Movement, other young men that are part of other groups. They got another one that's biblical scholarship amongst young racially aware men. So, you know, our people are realizing now that the world is full of liars and deceivers and cheats. And so they want answers. And now's the time when we can shine, as Yeshua said. You know, be a light on the hillside for our people. They're in the dark right now. They're swimming in a sea of lies and deception. And just like a ship out there, and there's a tempest coming in, they're looking for a lighthouse. That's what the purpose of a lighthouse is, to let ships in distress and storms know where the shoreline is. Okay? Well, that's what we have to be for our people. We're in a storm, and they're looking for light, which represents knowledge and morality and a path to our Father. And we have to stand up and be that. Even though sometimes we don't feel like we're adequate at it, it doesn't matter. You are the tip of the spear at this point in time. You stand head and shoulders above the average person out here, even if you don't think you know much. If you know the Father and He loves you, you love Him, and you're doing your best to live according to His rules, you're head and shoulders already above everybody else. So we just share what we know, and we just keep right on trucking. And so next week, we'll be right back here, same format, same time, starting at 8 p.m. Eastern time. So I'm just looking real quick to see if there was anything in the chat I might want to get. I hate to jump out of here, but I have an emergency run to the latrine needed here, so you're going to have to forgive me, but I need to jump off, so we'll just close in prayer here real quick for tonight. I will have this recording up on the website later tonight or first thing tomorrow for the folks that either came in late or missed it, because people have been requesting them. And here's the other thing they like. They like the fact that it's real people talking about real issues in complete honesty and in complete fellowship with one another. That's what they enjoy about these chats. It's not sitting there with some pontificating, dressed-up guy in a robe behind a pulpit thinking, you know, he's going to talk to us like a bunch of children. This is where the family can get together and express our true feelings towards each other, towards our Father, and talk about real issues, current events issues, things that are important for us today. To Heavenly Father Yahweh, we give you the praise, the glory, and the honor. We thank you for this platform. We thank you for this group that came together tonight live. We also pray for the folks that are going to listen to the recording. And just reach out there and touch all of us by your Holy Spirit. We know that you said you'd pour out your Spirit upon all flesh at this time, and that seems to be happening. And we also ask for the great counselor, the Holy Spirit, to lift each and every one of us up, to give us strength and courage at these dark days, to know that we are going to come through this just like Noah and his family did. We're going to be on the other side of this thing. It may not be many other people around us, but we're going to be there. And we're going to have a wonderful chance to rebuild this world in the manner in which our Father expected it to be all along. But our ancestors dropped the ball. Now we have a chance to do it right and do it correctly and to make sure it never, ever falls into the hands of the wicked ones again. And to that end, Father, we give you again praise. We thank you for being with us and forgiving us our sins and our shortcomings. Give us a stiff backbone and good discernment. And always we ask, Father, that you protect us from our enemies. We ask this in Yahweh's precious name. Hallelujah. And good night, everybody.